some of our young people to come and sit right down here and cheer me on this morning. Would you come and just cheer me on right down here from the front bleachers? And I love my young people. Don't you love these young people? They're amazing. I cheer them on. I do. Man, I do. And they know how to worship, I'm telling you. And God's hand is on these young people. Don't expect them to be perfect. They're just human beings. Praise God. But they're wonderful kids. And Sister Ariana just joined the teenage bracket. And that's a scary thing right there. But she's such a sweetheart. We love her, appreciate her, all of them. So if I say something that you understand and you get it, you believe it, throw your hand up, shout, do something, make a noise, wave your hanky. Sister Kelly, you know, she's like a mother to me in Israel. And she's got to be, well, I don't know how, she's in her 80s, but Dad Kelly passed away, superintendent of Virginia for about 25 years. I was his assistant, and he was like a papa to me. Mama Kelly, I think of her often. But she'd get her little hanky out. I never forget this. And she'd wave her little hanky. She'd get happy in the Lord. You know, she'd wave. Or she'd get up to make a point and exhort us. Sister Amber, we had a little drama celebrating them, you know, after 20 years and so on. And somebody acted out, her daughter acted her, and his son put something over to cover his hair so he looked as bald as his daddy, and he played the part of his papa. Amazing, amazing. Turn to the book of John, if you would, Gospel of John, chapter 15. Love you guys. Appreciate everybody. We do have people that are trying to, they've been under the weather. They would normally be here. Others that are trying to get back from vacation. And we miss the greens, that's for sure. All of you look so awesome to me. Love you dearly, more than I can say. That's not a light statement, I really mean it. John 15, I love this chapter. This is what I would call the biggest chapter in the whole Bible on fruitfulness. The theme, you know, the chapter that refers to fruitfulness more than any chapter that I can think of in the 1189 chapters of your Bible. So there are keys here for us, right? John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And that's scary. I don't know how that hits you, but that puts the fear of God in me. And every branch that beareth fruit, watch this, he purgeth it. Some of those grandmoms and so on, they knew what purge meant. There were certain things they'd give us, and buddy, we got purged. Dude. I mean, when we took those little castor oil and other remedies, they did work. Mm-hmm. That it may bring forth, see, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I got a text from one of our beloved pastors here in the district, and it was a beautiful text, but he said something like, I'm praying for you, Brother Meadows, and I love you. And I feel like God is talking to all of us about getting reconnected to the vine. Just an amazing, very eloquent message. I thanked him for it. It was so beautiful. What was the last verse we read? Verse 4, wasn't it? So we're going to move into verse 5. That story was not in my notes. I just felt impressed to share that with you. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth, hang in there. Never quit. Don't disappear. Don't run away. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Is that humbling? That is humility inspiring. Can't do anything without his help. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And that's another verse that puts the fear of God in me, because you know and I know what that's referring to. So I won't even go there, because that's not really what my theme is, but it does put... I get the feeling when I read verses like this, he's not, God ain't playing around. He is playing for keeps. And I hope that you feel the same way. We're in this for the long haul, and we might stumble it. We might stub our toe. We might hit a wall. Whatever. Get up. Just get back up. Just get up as quickly as you can. Just get up and keep on going. And there'll be a day when we speak of these times, and you will know that your effort was heroic because you made it through and God caused you to grow in the midst of craziness. So now I want to come back to verse 1, and I want to read it from the Amplified Classic, verse 1, 2, and 3, just to give you a little flavor here that is in the original Greek, okay? John 15, 1, from the Amplified Classic, AMPC. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. So you see, if he's pruning, if he's cutting some things off of your life, it could be a compliment. He sees your fruitfulness and he wants to give you even better fruit, more fruit. Woo! Can you see that? Every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Verse 3, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you. You see that? The teachings I have discussed with you. Wow. Okay, so this is a little different, but I'm trying to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I love and cherish everybody in the house. And I want you to see this like this, not like, oh, Pastor's saying, what is Pastor saying? One of the main things that I'm saying is if you listen up real quick, real clearly and quick, I want to explain to you what we've been going through and what's happened in the process. Because pruning is the guarantee of fruitfulness. Let's lift our hands and ask God for understanding. Would you with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for your living word. There's nothing like it, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. We worship you. Would you clap your hands now and lift them and your heart up to the Lord? Let's give him the praise that he's so worthy of. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. He doesn't ask my permission. He doesn't ask your permission to prune or to cut back. Has anybody ever done any pruning here? Okay. You understand that, and you, any of you probably could come up here and say, Pastor, I've noticed that when we did that pruning work on the hedges or the shrubs or the plants that we worked on, that shortly there was, in many cases, might have been depending on what it was and what time it was in the year, there was a shooting forth, either the next season or in the next few weeks, a shooting forth of new growth. How many of you could testify to that? Sometimes amazingly. I think that one of the operations, maybe even ministries, that the pandemic has had, and I don't know if any of you remember a message we preached several months ago called Six Gifts from a Pandemic that we preached here. Preached it to about one person that was in the media center, and that was probably you, Brother Scott. But anyhow, my mind often goes back to that because I felt like the Lord showed me that there were at least six positive things coming out of something that we don't think very positively of, the pandemic. But one of the operations or one of the ministries of the pandemic is it has shifted out a lot of folks who look good for a while. But it also, listen to this, it also woke others up who have been off the trail. And I it's not just here. And we've got some new families coming in right now. I'm so excited about Chelsea and Tammy and about 10 or 15 new kids, new young people. I called Sister Amber. I said, our Sunday school just doubled, praise God. I am so excited about these two new families and others that are coming in. So the pandemic, you know, God can use anything. The devil is so stupid that sometimes God hires him to do work that God wants done. And then he fires him. Praise God. Like Donald Trump, you are fired. And he's done with me. And by the way, you're not picking up a paycheck. You just work for free. Thank you. God is so smart, he can turn the enemy into an employee. Oh, what a God we serve. He can take a pandemic and sift through and sort through a lot of shallowness and a lot of thinness and a lot of insincerity and sometimes a lot of impurities. And all of a sudden, we look around, we wonder, what in the world is going on in our churches? I'll tell you what's going on. There is a sifting. There is a pruning, but God is getting us ready for a new growth. God is getting us ready for a growth spurt. God is getting us ready in America and in other places of the world for a special move of God. And so he's here and he's working in us and he's working among us. And it's really, it's an awesome thing. And make no mistake, I don't want to lose any of you. Not a one of you. So just know my heart. I don't want to lose anybody. I love everybody here, everybody that's a part of our church that can't be here, and God bless our live stream. Thank you, Sister Gwen, for helping us. Brother Frank, you are cherished. Michelle and your family, we miss you today. We just go on and on. Praise God. And there's some more of you that I call your names, and I thank you for watching, and there are friends that tune in. You are very, very special to us. But Mary Magdalene had a revelation. Did you know that the things that we know and understand, God never meant for them just to be knowledge? Because you got knowledge in your iPad, but it's not sacred knowledge. You know, most of it's not sacred knowledge unless it's a Bible app, okay? You've got knowledge in your smartphone or idiot phone or whatever you choose to call it. When we're in an information age, right? We used to be a relational age, but we went from that to an information age. It's not just having information. It's not just knowing things. It's having things that we know that become revelation. I ended up in this church not just because I saw baptism in Jesus' name, but when I saw it, it was like a revelation to me. See, if we're not careful, this can be a hand-me-down. And what will happen with that is we'll be pruned out, because that's not what's going to hold you, that you got a Pentecostal hand-me-down. What will hold you is that you have an experience with God, and you have light, and you have understanding, and you have revelation. You understand some things. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I saw that several years ago as a revelation. Woo! Not as a hand-me-down. Listen to what Mary Magdalene, what she tapped into when she stood outside the tomb. John 20, verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, She's supposing him to be the gardener. You don't want to know how many times that little phrase has come back to me. Because what she supposed was correct. And in that little description, she gave us a picture of God and what he does. He is the gardener. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We have a little revelation into the operation of God. Supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus is the eternal gardener. And because he loves you, isn't it interesting that our relationship with him began in a garden? What a coincidence. How many of you have ever maintained a garden? And you've done some weed pulling. Stand up right now if you pulled some weeds. All right. Look at all these awesome weed pullers. Would you look, just honor them by giving them a hand of appreciation. My uncle and aunt, Uncle Vernon, Aunt Gloria were godly people. They had me going to church. My mama had me going to church, first of all, from the ripe old age of 2 weeks. Thank you, Mom. Praise God. She was also baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Later on, as we begin to walk in this, sometimes he comes through our life, our garden. Isn't it interesting that it was in the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed through as a man? Hallelujah. Sweat great drops of blood. He was in such a profuse, severe stress that, you know, if you study this, this has been known in history that people have actually, their pores have dilated and blood has oozed out of their face or their body because they were under so much stress, their eyes, their face. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Uh-huh. He comes through the garden, his garden. There are pictures in the scripture that tell us that his church is his garden. And he comes through to fellowship with us like he did Adam of old. That's right. He loves to hang out with us. I love that. I a bunch of us go out often. Sometimes something comes up and I can't make it, but one of the funnest times is sitting out in a restaurant making food disappear with a bunch of you. That is so much fun. Praise God. That's the only magic I know, how to make food disappear. Amen. It's the only magic I'm good at. Praise God. Well, he comes through his garden. My uncle and aunt, they had a garden, and guess who they nominated as the chief weed puller? You're looking at him. I was younger and much skinnier, but I got so good at weed pulling, and they would often come back so quickly unless I got the roots out. And, of course, since I could clean out some weeds, not only did the garden look nicer, but the nutritional value of the rain and the soil got into the right stuff. Oh, praise God. God is so good. I feel like in the midst of a pandemic, he walks into his garden, he hangs out with us, and he does some pruning because he sees our fruitfulness. He sees our possibilities. He sees our potential. There's a little creature in the wild that everybody respects. Not very big. When I drive by one, I can usually tell it. My olfactory nerves. It's like, okay, proceed with caution. I mean, the bear leaves the skunk alone. The bobcat leaves the skunk alone. He's just a little stinker, you understand? He's just a little stinker. But it's his potential that scares everybody. Listen, the devil doesn't even realize, but God understands your potential. And he's working in your life. And when he brings the edge of his word, Hallelujah. When he comes to sort of like say, listen, there's something you're allowing in your mind. There's something you're allowing in your thought life. There's something you're allowing in your heart. I didn't come to hurt you. I came to help you. I just want to pull a few weeds. Woo! Is this okay? I heard about a church that was full of old rebels. That's certainly not our church. That's for sure. God bless you. I love my church family. I'm sorry, but I love my church family. Many of you know I've had invitations to preach, and I thought if I could get out of them, I just want to hang out with my gang, with my guys, with my family, with my church family. I enjoy preaching out, and that's all great and good and so on. But anyway, this new pastor was voted in, and he quickly became aware that there were obstacles, let's put it that way, and many of them wore clothes. And he didn't know exactly what to do. He was so new, and he started praying and seeking God. God, you got to help me. Lord, I want to lead this church to growth. I want to lead this church to revival. And all of a sudden, the next few months, people started dying. But it was only the rebels. What was going on? I'll tell you what was going on. The gardener came to church. The gardener came to church. I read these verses, I get inspired, but I also come under the fear of God. He is playing for keeps. We are living in the last of the last days. This is not the time to play games and pretend like nothing is serious. He is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And he's doing a work in the midst of his church. He's pulling some weeds. He's doing some pruning, not to hurt us, but to help us. As a matter of fact, I've got a friend, a wonderful man of God. He took a church, and in the next 2 years, they had 24 funerals. Wow. I want to tell you what, I want God to be happy with me. I want to judge myself before he has to, because he's so thorough. How many of you discovered he's thorough? The Bible says he will thoroughly purge his floor. As they say in the deep south, He will thoroughly purge his floor. He's doing a work in our midst, and he can even use a pandemic to put the fear of God in some people. There are folks that are coming into the church right here and others of our churches right now because they're part of the truly woke crowd. Woo! I want to be in the midst of the move of God, don't you? When the Israelites gave themselves to complaining, it grieved his heart. And when you read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 8, neither let us commit fornication. And sexual sin is always a deep issue. It's a serious fault and failure. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Would you say the 23,000 people that all of a sudden were there and then all of a sudden they came under the judgment of God and they were dead, would you call that a pruning? I would. See, God the pruner, God the gardener. He owns the garden. Hallelujah. He wants to hang out with us, but he's not going to tolerate a bunch of craziness in our lives. He comes to give us victory. Is that all right if I preach that? He can give you victory over any addiction. He can give us victory over any sin. He can even give us victory over people that weigh us down. Lift your hand. Let's love on him just a little bit right now, Lord God. I am yours and you are mine. Thank you, God. Help me to understand that your pruning is the guarantee that I am going to be extremely fruitful. Praise the name of the Lord. Watch this, 1 Corinthians 10. We read verse 8. Here's verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Gardeners in the house. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye. Does anybody remember this little thing I did years ago? You know, when we're little kids, really little, we have some beautiful little angel babies that run around here that steal your heart and my heart constantly. You know, and when they say something like "dad, dad, dad," it's never just "dad." It's "dad, dad," right? So when you say "murmur," can you hear the infantile immaturity in the word itself? It's not just "myrrh," it's "murmur." It's "da, da." It's "mama." It's "no, no." See, it's the double reference. So in the word itself, you see the juvenile, infantile, never grown up flavor of someone who's complaining, and he says, "You're due for a visit from the gardener. I can't afford, listen, I've got something that in district business that I can't even explain it to you, but I'm involved in it because I've been a cautionary voice, and some of us have, and it's taken a toll on me, but I refuse to be quiet. I had to sort of somehow be somebody that expressed some concern in a loving way, in a godly way, in a biblical way. But it's taken a toll on me. But I refuse to be quiet. You need somebody. You need voices. We need voices in our life. Voices that can help us. Voices that can direct us. Voices that can counsel us. We will not get to heaven void of elders. We will not get to heaven devoid of elders and their voices in our life. We paid a price to get where we are. And all of us need the voice of godly elders that are free to talk into us and preach into us and counsel into us, because it's the pruning work of the Holy Ghost that guarantees we are going to become something extra special in fruitfulness. Because of his pruning. Woo, I must calm down. Watch this. Neither murmur ye, verse 10, 1 Corinthians 10, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Welcome to the gardener's operations. There are some things that God will never put up with. He can put up with our frailties. He can put up with certain mistakes, especially if we're cognizant and humble about them. Ask him for grace and strength, but he will not tolerate complaining. And he will not tolerate sexual impurity. And we're all human, but we have to walk close to him, because we're in a very, very mixed up world that has tried to turn all the concepts upside down. But I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I've got a book here that will never backslide. If the church backslides, any church, God help them, bring them back. But this book will never backslide. And it's very clear about some things, even though we live in such a mixed up counterculture. Do you remember what he did at Gideon, and with Gideon in Gideon's day? He says to Gideon, he raised him up as a judge, and he was going to use him to bring victory over the Midianites. And the Lord, Judges 7:2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." And there returned of the people 22,000. Welcome to the pruning activity of the Holy Ghost. Fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Even though we be, and we're, I'm encouraging you to, you know, I wore the, my mask up here on purpose. And what I do in courtesy and consciousness. And also trying to work with civil authorities, which is taught in the New Testament and taught to us from the scriptures. Right, but I don't do it in fear. Do you understand the difference? So he's needing some battle-hardened veterans. And he says, if you're afraid, if you got any fear, then don't go. Don't go down to the battlefield. There's a little bit of pruning going on. But he wasn't done. He said, now take the rest of them. Had about 10,000 left. He said, bring them down to the water. How many of you read the story? It's an amazing story. But he said, watch the way they drink the water. The guys that got down on their faces and just put themselves into the water, you know. He said, oh, I pull them out. But he said, the ones that drink it like this, they're aware of the danger. They got their backs watched. They're watchful. He said, pull those out to the other side. I want to use them. And there were only 300 of them. You hear some pruning going on? I see and hear some pruning going on. What are you saying? I'm saying, I believe that if we will be careful in this hour, God will select us for special ministries. Watch your back. Look out for everybody. Be protective of your pastor. Be protective of your church family. Praise God. Be extremely loyal to God first, to his people, to his shepherd, to your leaders, to your church family. Be extremely prayerful and loyal, but protective. We drink like this because we're watching. The Bible says to be careful and watch. Be watchful. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? He took what, 32,000 down to 300, and I hear the operation of pruning shears. What's he doing? He's trying to use some people. And the more careful they were, the more qualified they were to be used. Ooh, lift your head. Give me a revelation, God. Give us a revelation of this. Thank you for truth. Thank you for truth. You're doing something in this hour. I want to be a part of the move of God. Sifting and sorting he is. Oh, and if I'm not sincere, if I'm not trying to live a godly life, if I'm not in this thing for real, I can be sorted out. Not that he stopped loving us. It's just he's got to use people that are prepared to be careful. That's right. I heard Brother Cornwell. He's one of the greatest soul winners I've ever been around. Anybody ever hang around Brother Cornwell here and preach? I know in one Bible study, he was traveling to a town called Anthony, Kansas. And he was teaching a Bible study every week. And in that one Bible study, he won 50-some people to God. And that Bible study turned into a church. One of the greatest soul winners I have ever, ever been around. But I heard him say one time, he said at one point in our life, we lost 37 families. But go look at his church and see if you can tell where the hole is. Somebody said, you want to know how important you are? Fill a bucket up with water, put your hand in it, pull it out, and show us the hole that you left. Go to his church and see if you can see the hole. There is no hole because he runs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And that's no exaggeration. But there was a point when the gardener came through and pulled some weeds. I want to be in the rapture, don't you? Lift your heart to the Lord in praise. God, I want to be sincere. I want to be on the firing line. I want to be a part of your special operations. I want to be a part of your sanctified SWAT team. I want to be selected by the Holy Ghost, not because of talent, but because of consecration. Woo, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, and God gave him a great harvest. And another great harvest. And you can't find out there's not a dent in his church. We all go through things. Our churches are going through things. But in the midst of it, God is selecting some who are using this time to deepen their relationship with God. I would like to challenge you as we soften the lights. Do you have a prayer life? Young person, do you have a prayer life? Good people of God, elderly saint, who, you know, maybe you have positions and some of you have so many ministries, it's scary. I'm afraid to ask you how many things you do because, frankly, it's scary. You have ministries coming out of your pores, as it were. But I want to challenge all of us. This is the hour when it is time to get close to God and dig in and renew some consecrations. Do you remember when we first came to Him? We walked down to the altar and we said probably something like this. Whatever. Anybody remember this? Whatever you want me to do. Does anybody remember that kind of stuff? Wherever you want me to go. Whatever you want me to say. Count me in, God. Just use me. Anybody remember consecrations like that? Through the years, dust can cover them. The articulate specificity of them, what we specifically promised, can get old and cobweb covered. And we forget what we said, but He didn't forget. And I believe you're here in the will of God. I do with all of my heart. We love you. But once in a while, I feel like God wants to come through our lives and just do a little pruning. Not to hurt us. And I heard one of my old pastors, I'll never forget it. He said, God doesn't cut everything off in our lives at the same time. Because He said if He did, we'd bleed to death. I now understand my old pastor. Great man. He wasn't fiery. He didn't yell, scream, and holler like I do. He was just steady Eddie. He was a teacher. That man became superintendent of our district. But before he was superintendent, he was my pastor. And he had a lot of wisdom. Now, his wife was a firebrand. And she knew how to yank our chains. And that rightly so. And she helped keep us all on the straight and narrow. For sure. But she was passionately for us and watched over us and counseled us and coached us and once in a while would yank our chain if she thought we were less than what we could be. That wonderful man of God, I heard him say once that the one congregation that he had completely overturned and been reworked and retooled, you know, like had completely changed over five different times in the time that he was there in that city. That in effect, he had pastored five churches in the one church because of all the shaking and moving and all of the pruning and cutting and growth and conviction. And now standing here as a seasoned pastor, I understand what he meant. I'm inviting. Would you with me invite the gardener to come? Oh, to love us, not to hurt us. The gardener. Hey, Jesus.